I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. It's been a while, but we are back. And essentially, it's our year-long anniversary because the Vodafone Comedy Carnival is coming up in Dublin. In a week and a half, and it was the Vodafone Comedy Carnival last year that instigated the Des Bishop Podcast beginning. Vodafone originally had given me a few euros to get it going and to help promote the Vodafone Comedy Carnival. And now, a year later, we're still at it. Not as regular, perhaps, as some of our listeners would like. My apologies for that, but nonetheless, there are some New York-based comedians heading over to the Comedy Carnival, so I decided to catch up with a few of them. Perhaps you guys can get a little more familiar with them if you're thinking of going to the Comedy Carnival. Otherwise, it's just a good old chat anyway. Our first chat is with Mark Normand, who I perform with a lot at the Comedy Cellar. Lovely guy, very funny guy, and not afraid to speak his mind, as you'll see in the chat that we have. He just had a hour-long special on Comedy Central. He opens up for Amy Schumer all over the world. And actually, his trip to the Comedy Carnival is the second time he's performed in Dublin. The first time was opening for Amy Schumer at the Three Arena. So we chatted a bit about Ireland and what he thinks of Ireland. We chatted a lot about political correctness and America's obsession with race and... you'll see. It's an interesting chat about freedom of speech and how much our concern about political correctness is or isn't stifling debate. So tune in for that, and we'll talk to you after the chat. Mark Normand, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. Look at that, starting at 4:31. Not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You definitely have impeccable... punctuality.
I try to be pretty punctual. It's one of the things I work on.
Well, first of all, thank you for agreeing to do this at short notice. I mean, I know it wasn't actually short notice because we sort of arranged it last week.
Sure. It was in my calendar.
Was it?
Yeah. I put Des Pod maybe.
that is exactly what it was.
Yeah.
You know what happened? I got distracted by Colin Quinn saying he would do it.
Wow. That's a good get.
It's a good get. But, you know, I mean, I'll be talking to him too, but, you know, who knows which will be going out first. But regardless of that, it's a good get, but Irish people don't know him at all.
They should. He's a big Mick.
I know.
A but Brooklyn Mick.
But here's the crazy thing. Mick isn't even a term that they use in Ireland. They say Paddy.
Ah,
the,
Paddy.
The equivalent sort of, I mean, not slur, but just...
It's a slur.
Generalization. Well, yeah, but... It depends who says it, of course.
You're right. It's intent. But my friend used to have a great bit about how Martin Luther King in the I Have a Dream speech, he was like, and these cops are putting all these African-American or colored folk in paddy wagons, and it's all this I Have a Dream equality, but paddy is a slur.
Yeah, paddy wagon is actually a racist.
Yes, it was a great bit. It was like this whole bit about equality, and you're using a slur against Irish people.
but that has become accepted language now.
And it's like gypsy. Or Jip, I mean. You got Jipped.
Oh, you got Jipped is from Gypsy?
Yes, that's what that's from. You didn't know that? It's like, well, got Jewed down, but then they said you can't say Jewed down, but Jipped is still from Gypsy.
Really?
And the Gypsies, they don't complain, so nobody cares.
Wow, that's great. So, I mean, I have a super interest in etymology. I'm getting the impression that you're like really into the origin of words, yeah?
Love words, and I love culture, background, race, all that shit.
I know, it's sad. There used to be this guy on Irish radio. He used to be on every Wednesday, every Thursday on this radio show, and his whole thing was the origin of words. So people would send in words, and then he'd always have the... I mean, I'm sure he got the words in advance, but...
I love
amazing
that.
Stories about
I love
where
it.
Different words come from. I
yeah.
know, sadly, he died,
ah.
but he was the best. Never been replaced.
Mm. You know what else is fun? Not just words, but like phrases, like we're breaking the ice. That comes from ships that like cargo ships back in the day had to break the ice to get to the town. It would freeze over. The lake would freeze over. So they had to break the ice. And now we use it like, oh, we're breaking the ice. Like, you know, meeting at a party or something.
Yeah, there's loads of great ones.
There's a million of those.
Long time no see is Chinglish.
Chinglish?
Yeah, long time no see is direct translation from Chinese grammar. Haozhou bujian. Haozhou bujian is proper Chinese grammar.
Uh-huh.
It is long time no see. Like,
wow.
Boom, boom, boom.
Like, me but love you long time.
Yeah, yeah, except that obviously long time no see became a, you know, obviously when the Chinese came here, it became a thing because we say long time no see like it seems correct.
Yes.
But it's entirely wrong.
It's grammatically incorrect.
But it is a real Chinese way of greeting somebody. Haozhou bujian.
I love that. That's a great one.
Oh, dude, let's go for a whole hour. Like,
goodbye. We all know that one.
No, what's that?
God be with ye.
Oh, God be with ye.
And it just kind of shrunk into goodbye.
Okay, here's one for you. Smashing. You know the way the English say smashing?
Mm-hmm.
Like smashing good shot?
Mm-hmm.
Smashing is Gaelic. Ismashin. That's good. And it came down from the Scots Gaelic and sort of evolved into smashing.
Wow.
Ismashin, 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 smashin, smashin, smashin.
Wow, that's fascinating.
That was from a book about how the Irish invented slang, which is total bullshit because there's as much American slang from Yiddish as there is from Gaelic. But there is. Like
Yiddish.
Smithereens comes from Gaelic.
What's that?
Like well any, I can't give you the front part, the smither bit, but any the suffix een on any Gaelic word means tiny.
Uh-huh.
So like if you were like if your dad was a Mark or even if you were just like you know with your dad somebody would say like you know what does Markeen want?
Uh-huh. Meaning like little I'm Mark. A littler dad.
Yeah, or just like no Markeen like it would be, almost be like a term of endearment like you know little Markeen or Markeen Biog like little Mark.
Right.
But Een means small, you know.
Okay, well Yiddish I never thought about Yiddish as being slang, but we say like
we say so hey, much.
Hand me the pencil. Pencil schmenzel. That's Yiddish.
Pencil schmenzel. Because everyone knows schmuck is Yiddish.
Right, right.
But pencil schmenzel is
Yiddish.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, I assume. I just put that together myself. I'm assuming that's Yiddish, but it sounds so Jewy, like chair schmer. We'll stand. You know.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah,
but you're not Jewish, right?
I wish.
I know you're screwed in this industry.
I know. I feel like there's like a and it's like that scene in Indiana Jones where the wall is closing and he grabs his hat. That's how it is for straight white male comics. It's closing, so you got to get that hat.
I know. That's such an interesting discussion because on one level, like, it appears to be the case because, like, in the media discourse, you feel like I guess you can get into this paranoid state where it's working against you. But then in actual fact, it's really just had a tiny chip away from the dominance.
That's true. Well, they say equality, if you're on top, feels like oppression.
Yes.
Which I completely believe, you know. But Michael Costa, you know who this is?
Sure, actually. I followed him in my only Montreal gala in 2010.
Oh, wow. Somebody's holding a grudge.
No. I went on right after him. He was fine. Very nice guy.
Okay. Very nice guy. Handsome, tall man. He
very
got
positive.
Very positive. And funny. He got the last... He got... he's a Daily Show correspondent. He just got hired.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and he showed up to the stand, and we were all sitting there, a bunch of comics, and we go, oh, my God, congratulations. You got in. White male, straight white male got in. You got a gig. And it was like, it felt cool because it was so matter of fact. It wasn't like we were being funny. It was just like, yeah. He's like, I know. I got in. I was like, how'd you do it? He's like, another white guy left. So I got in. I was like, there you go.
Yeah. Who was the white guy that left?
He's got his own show now. I can't remember his name.
Can't remember his name either. Because we don't care.
Yeah.
Why would you care?
I don't know.
Another white guy.
I know.
Another funny white guy.
We don't have problems. We don't get cancer, you know. We don't get AIDS.
Yeah. But you. I feel like when I watch your sets at the Cellar, you're not afraid to touch on that, like political correctness.
No, I'll go all in because it's so stupid. It's a fad, it's a trend, and it's silly to me that people can't see it.
When you say it's a fad, it's super, you mean like political correctness? Or
well,
you mean...
I get PC. Like, I get we shouldn't call, like, oh, that movie was gay, like, for a bad movie. I totally get that, and I agree. That's
yes.
Mean to gay people and whatever. But some of it is so stupid, like, you can't say this, but you can't say that. And I just like to dissect why these rules
yes.
are there. Like, retarded is now bad. But retarded used to be the technical term, like back in the day. Like that was the scientific term. It's retarded.
Yes.
And then you keep adding, it's like Carlin did it all. You keep adding these softer euphemisms. Like how far are we going to go?
Oh, yeah,
what's
we just
difference?
Pass away. Great
yes.
routine about death.
That's
yeah.
a bit killer bit.
Killer bit.
He's 35 or 80 years young. What does that mean?
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It's just we're getting softer and softer and softer.
I did have a moment where, because like one thing you may notice when you're in Ireland is like retarded is not used much in Ireland. The people have a reflex immediately negative reaction
oh, really?
To the word retarded. Whereas I notice over here, well, certainly when I was growing up, but even still to this day, you'll hear a lot of people use retarded. And
still.
Like, but never about people, just about
never.
Things being retarded.
Well, you say, oh, that guy's being a fucking retard. Jeez, give me my keys, you know, like.
Yeah. So I wonder, like, oh, it's a bit retarded. Like, I wonder who's right and who's wrong on that one.
Well, the intent is good, but my whole thing is, this is weird victimization we have now. Like, victims are like praised. Oh, you're a victim. Oh my God. So like, you could be a black guy with a great life, handsome, tall, good-looking guy, or you could be like a white guy with cancer and a broken foot and no dad and no money. And I feel like people still assume the white guy is doing better, you know? And you're like, well, that's kind of a racist thought in itself. You know, you're just assuming this and this because of race and your profiling. I don't know. So it kind of, it's folding in on itself.
It's a toughie. Well, I mean, it's particularly tough in America because Americans are so obsessed with race and identity.
Oh, it's insane. And now more than ever.
I find it exhausting here.
But we're trying to be so progressive, but now we're more divided than ever. Don't you find that?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if that's been, I'm not sure if that is the evolution of people wanting to be progressive and more just the internet.
I think it's pretty, the left is pretty powerful. And I'm not saying I'm a liberal guy, but I'm saying it's, you got to be this way or you're like an outcast.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I hear a lot of people expressing that sentiment.
Yeah, I mean, don't you find in Hollywood?
I had an argument with a woman the other day actually about it because, you know, she was basically saying that she feels like under attack if she expresses, you know, her somewhat conservative views. I mean,
totally
palatable conservative views, but she feels under attack. But is that real or is that a paranoia?
Oh, I think it's very real. I think it's very, you get put in this box and people judge you. It's actually the exact same thing these progressive people, quote unquote, are like rallying against. They're doing like these anti-bullying people, the biggest bullies.
Oh, that I 100% agree with. In that you get mob, you get the mob rule on that.
Oh yeah, and they judge you and they look at you and they go, "You're this kind of guy. Fuck you." And you're like, "Well, you're going all your whole beliefs are just you're just counter attacking your whole beliefs. Like it's you're backwards." Because I'm not on your side. You don't even listen to me. Like, they're going to, like, colleges and say, Republicans can't come speak here. Well, you're just killing free speech now? But I thought you were liberal.
Yeah, but here's my question.
Bullshit.
I'm interested in that because that came up in this conversation. But it was particularly about Milos.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a nut.
Yeah, well, they rioted in Berkeley over him going to Berkeley, right? And this woman that I was arguing with was saying, like, are you against free speech now? But I was like, so that's an extreme example. But is it the case where palatable conservative views are being shot down in these universities? Like, because I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I don't go to university. I've never gone to one of these shows or speeches or whatever. But that's what it's seeming like. And it seems like if you don't agree with me, you're a piece of shit. And it's like, well, that's not how this works.
My mission now that I'm sort of living here is to find out how much of it on both sides is real. You know, like,
well, there's protests, there's riots. I mean, people are breaking shit. It's shit's going down.
Yeah.
I think it's happening right now. We're in the middle of it. This is it, baby.
Yeah, I know, but it's very easy to sensationalize these stories and make it seem like they're greater. They can make it seem like it's a much bigger thing that's happening in our society than it is.
Well, don't you think it's weird, like, when a Nazi guy, like, some guy's, like, acclaimed, something like we claim some guy is a Nazi, and then some guy punches him on the sidewalk, and everybody loves it. It's like, well, he's
the Richard Spencer scenario.
Yeah, it's like, look, I don't know this guy. He's probably a lunatic or whatever. But
well, that's because he was hailing. Yeah, but he was hailing Trump. He wasn't saying "Hail Trump."
Like,
it's
right,
a little
well,
bit dangerous.
That's a little weird. But
you know,
there's been other
like,
cases.
We spent most of our life going, "If you could kill Hitler."
I know, I get it,
Would you have killed it? No, I mean,
Well, that's also a sentence compared to a physical attack.
What's that?
That's a scenario, fictional, I know.
And listen, I'm not condoning punching Richard Spencer, but he is very punchable.
Oh, of course, I agree. I want to punch
everybody.
But he is
a white supremacist, though. He's not a conservative. He is a white supremacist.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
I get it. But I'm just saying, it feels like We're completely divided, and no one's listening to the other side.
I absolutely agree with that. Yeah. Every day, I flip from CNN to Fox News, and I go, what is the point of this?
Yes.
You know, in Ireland, we have there's a broadcasting law where you can't have, like, a Fox, or I don't want to say CNN, but possibly maybe MSNBC. You know, you can't have
an agenda,
a show that clearly has that much of an agenda.
Yeah, I agree. Now, and I think that's a good call, because the news is so skewed, and they show you, like, all right, we're going to show this white cop shooting a black guy. Well, what about when the white cop shot the white guy? Don't show that. You never see those. That happens all the time.
What? Sorry, when a...
When, like, a white cop shooting a white guy, that won't even be the news. That won't even be on the news. But then the white cop shooting a black guy.
Well, there was a very
guy.
Tragic one the other day of a white woman who called in a sexual abuse report. Uh-huh. Shot. You saw that one, right?
No, what happened?
Oh, this is a biggie.
What, you, Smalls?
It was in Minneapolis, same place as that Fernando Castile.
Oh, that was bad. That was a Hispanic cop, by the way.
Yes. And this woman called in potential sexual abuse thing happening down her laneway. And when they showed up, she got shot. And nobody knows why.
The woman got shot.
White Australian woman who was living with her fiancé in Minneapolis.
Now, is that on the news?
Everywhere.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, no, but I just mean that that is an odd one.
That's very odd. Do we get to the bottom of it?
Literally, the body cameras were turned off.
Oh, boy. But you know what bums me out about that is... People see that, and then they go, now you know how it feels. Ah, you see? Sucks when you get shot, huh? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, sucks when anybody gets shot.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Yeah, you shouldn't look at this as some sort of revenge. This is
no,
a horrible
I think,
thing.
I think I just was listening on the way in on NPR. So uh-huh. I think the argument being made there is that there's more outrage. Oh, sorry.
Right,
no,
right,
no,
right.
Sorry. No, actually, it's not that there's more outrage. It's that there's... immediately more sympathy for the victim than in other situations.
Right. Well,
so you immediately assume this woman must have had no reason to be shot.
Right. I
so,
hear you.
But that's just the argument being made. Right. I'm not saying that's the sentiment that's being put out there.
Did you hear the one about the guy and the lady in the Bronx that got shot?
That was horrific.
The black woman?
The cop.
The cop shot the black woman?
That was horrific.
I don't know the whole story, but I heard, is that what happened? A black cop
shot a
black woman.
It was an assassination.
No. A black criminal shot a black cop lady.
Latino, yeah.
Was he Latino?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, you know.
I heard black.
Yeah, she was like a black Latino. You know, like a...
What?
You know, like she's a Latino. I think she's like Puerto Rican or something.
But you say, what do you mean black Latino?
No, like her physical appearance would be on the darker side. Like,
oh, yeah. She was darker complexion.
Yeah.
I see.
But like I think
I heard she was black.
I don't think she's African American.
Oh, all right. Oh, well, I got some bad news.
My researcher back in the office will look that up while we continue
to
chat.
Yeah, yeah. But I just heard there was like a whole, like all these right wing guys were like, where's the Black Lives Matter now? What the hell?
Of course they immediately went for that.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is what I don't understand. This is not about who's wrong and who's right every time.
Yeah.
There's victims every time. But because everything is so like, who's winning and who's losing.
That's what it
in
is.
The argument.
Exactly.
It's very negative for, I think it's very negative for debate.
Yeah, it's not good. And no one gets anywhere. And
no one gets anywhere
No
ever.
One will back down. No one on a debate now goes, that's a good point. You're right. I'll sit down.
Okay, so what is our job then as comedians? Then? I don't want to get all wanky on it, but I think we have a space to talk
about.
Yeah,
well, A, we should be the good guy, and we should be neutral, and we should be honest. It's all about honesty. That's what comedy comes from. It's honesty. So I think you just got to say the truth, and nobody wants to hear that now. The truth hurts.
Yeah, I mean, I only sound a little bit distracted because I just...
He's talking to the researcher.
I'm talking to the researcher, Mrs. Google here, and...
Yeah.
But her name was Masostos Familia.
Oh,
so I was
probably
just making an assumption on the Latino thing.
But did you get a photo?
But that was tragic. Oh, I didn't look up. I never cared anyway.
Well, you got to know now. And
well, she was assassinated.
Debates.
That was an assassination.
Wow.
You know?
I heard there was a big funeral. All the cops got together.
And some of them turned their back on Bill de Blasio.
Ooh.
Because they're still angry over, they didn't feel like he had their back, you know, during I guess the height of the Black Lives Matters protests and
God.
You know the guy that was killed in Staten Island, you know?
Yeah, the fat guy?
Yeah, I would say Latino there. just in the corner.
Yeah, definitely Latino.
Anyway, it's irrelevant. So, yeah, so I think it's, but I haven't heard any, like, in fact, you're one of the only comedians I've really seen doing anything smart or.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Well, no, smart or challenging on this specific issue of, you know, we're not getting anywhere, or certainly about you can't say anything, or.
Yeah.
Have you been hearing many people talking about it? I mean, we chat about it at the table, but.
A few people here and there, but it's so hard to make funny because it's such a. Right when people hear it, they clam up.
They go,
shit, we're doing this now? I thought we were talking about shitting or dicks or fucking. So you really got to, the joke's got to be really either A, super silly, or just a good turn, a really good punchline.
Yeah, but that is tough because people do clam up.
Oh, they clam up. They can, you know, you can tell a lot of them are like, come on, what are you doing? Don't go into this territory. I'm out having a good time. And I'm like, hey, this is comedy. I mean, look at Pryor, Carlin, Geraldo. That's what they did. They went after these things.
Yeah, and but it's that fine line between when you don't have your own audience yet and you're just doing jokes to strangers, and then you get your audience, and then you can really
you can really
blossom into that.
I agree, but my thing is, hey, if I can get strangers to laugh at this, it's a really good joke because they don't want to laugh.
Absolutely.
So that's
I think you'll find. See, the interesting thing in America is the audiences are so divided. Like, everyone's so divided. They're either one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring up a thing and people get tight straight away. Whereas I think you might find when you go to Ireland, I don't know, you opened up for Amy, right?
Ireland was one of the hottest shows on the whole tour. Amsterdam was a little clammy. They were a little PC. Ireland was hooting and hollering for everything. It was amazing.
Yeah, but they're really open to that, though. But I think you would find similar enough in the UK. You know, people open to that. But did you do London?
I did not do London, no. But we did Amsterdam and a couple other places, and it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think you'd find in Ireland, because, like, I don't know if he's a great example, but Bill Hicks was fearless in the 90s
with
his critical stuff, but never really got big here. It was really Europe that he exploded in, because the Europeans were very open to anti-Gulf War material.
Hey, like, of course.
They were
loving
the anti-American vibe.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And I know your stuff isn't anti-American, but I think you might find in Ireland that you can really go hell for leather. Not that it's not working here either. But.
Well, I've always heard as a kid growing up that the Irish are the niggers of Europe, they say.
Yeah, well, that was funnily enough, that was a line from The Commitments that became
what's that, a band?
That was a film.
Oh, I don't know The Commitments.
It was a great film, but, like, you know, sometimes these, you know, so then it becomes like a thing, like the Irish were the blacks of Europe. But, you know, whether that has any influence on what we're talking about,
yeah.
I don't know. But certainly the Irish were, they're not part of like the ancient European establishment, you know, like,
well, yeah, the British looked down on them.
Yeah, the Celts were wiped away, basically, you know, like, in terms of their dominance in Irish society.
Yeah,
they lost their power, and, you know, Ireland then was looked down upon as a sort of looked down upon as subjects more than
right. Well, Dylan Moran or Moran?
Moran, that we say in Ireland, but Moran here.
Okay, Dylan Moran has that great bit about how he's like, I'm a classic Irish guy. I should be painting a fence while holding a pig, which I don't know what that means, but it's so funny.
Well, that's just that's the genius of him. He puts out these beautiful images.
Yes.
And you don't even know why they're hilarious, but it just does something to your brain. It's like,
yes.
It tickles your brain. And
so true.
And he's just great at it.
I had to get a cancer exam. You know, that's where you have to feel your sac. So you're looking for a lump in a bag of lumps. He's great. I watched him as a kid.
Well, he's all my friend's favorite, to be honest, and he's a comic's comic.
Yeah, but he worked his way up. He was like winning contests as a youth.
And he won the Perrier. And
he
started in Dublin. We're familiar. He's one of our.
You know him?
He's one of our proud sons. Of course I know him. I mean, that would be like being like, you know, Sam Morril. You know, like,
no, he's bigger than that.
Yeah, no, but what I mean is, okay, let me think of a comparison for you.
All right, I mean, Sam's great, but
Amy Schumer, like somebody who broke a few years before started establishing yourself. You
gotcha.
He was just, actually, my 10th gig, he was the host.
Wow.
Which was a newcomers competition, and he was the host.
Is it the thing over there, like in Canada, where the host is actually the most famous guy on the show?
Yes.
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, it was him and a guy called Barry Murphy, who you would also love, and hopefully you'll meet him when you're at the festival. So we didn't discuss it. I might even swap it around and put it at the beginning, but one of the reasons why I wanted to chat to you is because you're going to.
Yes!
You're going to the Vodafone Comedy Festival.
Can't wait!
Vodafone Comedy Carnival, which is the reason why this podcast exists.
Is that right?
Last year I started it I got a bit of money from Vodafone. Now, in the end, they weren't delighted with the subject. I'm always grateful that they got me going. But the first one I sent to them was Lisa Traeger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty full on, like, well, sexual content.
She goes,
yeah,
after.
Yeah. And they got a little bit of cold feet. Now they didn't jip me.
There you go.
Now I won't be able to put this the other way around, but they didn't jip me. But they just were like, listen, it's great, but you know, probably not like the Vodafone vibe.
Oh, is it squeaky clean over there?
No. Just this sponsorship. Got they were going to put it up on their website and everything. So anyway, needless to say, I'm always grateful to them because they got their thing going. But it's this festival that got it going, which means that this podcast is a year old. And so I've been lazy lately, so it's nice that it's motivating me again. But anyway, you're going.
Yes. It's a good group. Colin Quinn, Sam Morril, Chris DeStefano. I can't wait.
Rachel Feinstein.
Rachel's going. We're going to get pretty sloppy out there.
I think it's going to be sloppy, and I'm disappointed I'm not going to be there, but I'm staying committed to the cause of spending more time in New York.
Good for you, but I got to say, I went to Dublin once for like 3 days, and Dublin wasn't as rowdy as I thought it would be. It's kind of a cute, small, quiet town where I would go to bars, and they would just be playing like a weird guitar and singing Irish tunes.
Yeah, but I think that's because you were hanging out in Temple Bar.
Okay.
So you were in like the McDougal Street of...
Yeah, which was kind of sad because I go to a few bars and they're like, Sweet Caroline. I was like, what the fuck? I'm back in Times Square.
Yeah, well, you essentially went to Times Square.
Okay, well, that's where everybody told me to go.
I know, which was bad advice. You should have contacted me because I would have given you better places to go and I would have told you to play the International Comedy Club.
I didn't have a car, so...
Yeah, no, it's all... Dude, it's Dublin.
It's small.
It's small.
Yeah.
So, because I only saw that you were there after. I don't know if you remember, but I messaged you, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because you would have enjoyed doing the International. All the greats have played there.
Really?
Louis C.K.
Wow.
Zach Galifianakis, The Flight of the Conchords.
Wow. Shit, I didn't even know there was a club.
Oh, yeah.
How did I miss it?
Well, there's like a... There's also like the equivalent of a Caroline's or a Gotham in Dublin, too, which is like a... proper like weekend of spots.
What?
But the club that my brother runs that I started back in the day is the International, which is a room smaller than the Fat Black Pussycat that we're sitting in right now.
Really? I like a small room.
Yeah, it's almost like the Village Lantern, but it has the equivalent reputation of the Cellar without trying to say that it's the Cellar of Ireland, but it's the place where almost everyone we've discussed so far started, like in terms of Irish comedians.
Interesting.
Dylan started there, for example. Uh-huh. But anyway, you can do it while you're at the festival, but I'll let my brother message you about that, and decide to do it or not.
I would love to do it. I'm
telling
you now.
You just have to leave the festival for 45 minutes.
I can do that.
Yeah, it's only around the corner.
I think I have like a show a night, so I'm good.
Oh yeah, you can definitely do it then.
Sign me up. You don't even need to talk to me. I'm
but
in.
But you will see that. Well, I mean, first of all, I would never tell people Dublin is rowdy.
I just assume, you know, Irish drunk and all that.
Yeah, but of course, the drunken thing is a bit of a stereotype.
It really is, yeah. But that happened here. It's kind of like saying Greek diner. You go to Greece, there's not a bunch of diners, you know?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. America fucks you up. You go like, oh, these black guys. And you go to Africa, there's no black guy sagging his pants. It's, you know, it's all American influence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, I keep asking, I really wish that somebody would tackle this, because I think it's an interesting subject matter, the lack of integration from African immigrants and African Americans.
Oh,
like two
it's
entirely
crazy.
Different cultures.
They don't like each other.
They don't like each other.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
I got in an Uber pool once, and it was like an African driver, straight up accent, you know, like Nairobi.
Yeah, an immigrant.
Yeah. And then I got in the back, and then we picked up a rapper thug type kind of guy, and it was tense.
Really?
Tense. Yeah, they were talking to me. I was the translator. I was like Switzerland. I was neutral.
Yeah, because I feel like the African, from my, you know, just casual observance, talking to drivers a lot of the time.
Yeah.
They look down on the African American.
Totally. They're like, what are you doing? Get a job. Speak English, all that. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, That's another thing. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of those stereotypes that do come out of the immigrant experience. But also, you know, the Irish being looked down upon, there's tons of reasons why, like, the drunken Irish has become a thing. Because it was the same in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
They drew them as gorillas. Like the Irish in the UK experienced the the kind of like media racism that the black man experienced here. So that's where I guess that whole black people of Europe came from. But that was a long time ago. But those stereotypes survive. And at the same time.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Booze and Irish identity are interlinked.
Well, you got the whiskey.
Yeah, and you got Guinness as the number one tourist attraction. And
right.
So, but I think people expect there to be like a lot of drinking. But rowdy is probably the wrong word. I mean, it is fun. Like you'll see, because you were there. What time of the year were you there?
I want to say September.
Yeah, like on a summer's day in Dublin, when you walk around the streets and everyone's out in the streets, like I think there's probably nowhere better in the world. Now I know you're from New Orleans, so that's a bold statement, but I think that you might get not Mardi Gras vibe, but you might get a bit of that sort of like New Orleans vibe on the right night in Dublin.
I went out. I walked from bar to bar. I walked that whole goddamn city. I was staying. What's that strip where it's like a mall almost on the street of just expensive
Grafton Street?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Right by that.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. And so it was very touristy, which was kind of a bummer. But I walked from my hotel to the prison, that big prison out there that's like a tourist attraction.
Oh, Kilmainham Jail.
Yes.
Did you do that? Because that's a good tourist attraction.
Well, I was pretty excited because I talked to the bellhop, and he's like, you got to do it.
But you got to get a tour.
Well, I walked all the way there. It took me like 3 hours, and I got lost 8 times. It was sweaty.
Because I live over there. That's where I live.
It's a great area. But I got there, and the guy had an AK-47 at the front gate, and I go, hey, buddy, I'm here to see the tour. And he goes, all right, what's your name? I go, what do you mean? He goes, you got to be on the list. It's like a 4-month waiting period. I was like, so I had to walk all the way back home.
It's not that long, is it?
It was maybe a month.
Yeah, but you got to book it.
I had no idea.
In the summer.
Okay, I had no idea. I felt like an idiot.
It's a great, the Kilmainham Jail turret, it's the best.
Really?
Like, so interesting. I highly recommend, you know, I think when you finish this conversation, you should go online and see if you can book it before.
Yeah, I should. That's a good idea.
Only because you learn a lot about Ireland. It'll probably like inspire like a throwaway gag for your show. I don't mean cheesy go local, but I just think
I
think you'd be inspired by it.
Yeah, you'll get some fresh eyes on it.
It's really good.
All right.
And the Museum of Modern Art is next door, so
I did go to that.
Oh, you went to M&M.
Yeah, because I had nothing to do. My whole day was at jail, and it was fucking locked up.
Oh, that was a pity, man.
But I did go to the Guinness. I walked to the Guinness factory because I passed it on the way. That's how far of a walk it was. And I went to the Guinness, and that was pretty cool. You know, the big horse with a big Guinness carriage, and I took a real shit over there, too. I had an Irish breakfast that really went through me.
That's a common experience.
Yeah, I was.
Were you drinking a lot of Guinness?
I was drinking a lot of Guinness, and I went out.
Did you notice the darkness of your poo?
Oh, it looked like blood pudding. I never thought about that, yeah.
In Ireland, they call blood pudding black pudding, just so you know.
Oh, good to know. I guess pudding is brown, real regular pudding.
Yeah, that pudding, but they don't. Yeah, that's not even like a thing in Ireland. That pudding, I don't even know what the hell that is.
What is black pudding? What's in it?
Blood, pig's blood, and other stuff.
Yeah, that's not appealing. I mean, I ate it, but
you didn't like it.
I mean, I don't get it. I want to know what I'm eating. You know, it's like a
really
hot dog.
Good with apple, like with applesauce. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
It's not like a food blogging podcast,
right? But you know, bangers and mash, I'm all about. Is that
yeah?
Irish?
That's like, you know, that's like. I guess it was British originally, but it's certainly been, you know, it's been embraced by Irish sort of pub food culture.
Right.
It's good, stodgy, wholesome food for the wet, damp Irish winters.
Some baked beans.
You're like, the beans are much better in Ireland. That's one thing I notice. Yeah, they're like a tin of baked beans. When I get it here, I'm like, ugh. But in Ireland, it's great.
It's true what they say about the Guinness. It tastes better there.
Absolutely, it tastes better.
I thought that was like, all right, we get it. You know, you got the Guinness, but it was great.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely tastes better there. When in my drinking days, when I used to come back to New York for the summers and I tried Guinness, it was disgusting.
But I got to tell you, I walked around that first night and there is an energy in the air in that city. Like, it was a crisp night. It was like 60 degrees. It was perfect. I just had a beer at every bar and watched the music and it was great. I was just alone. I loved it. I know it's a
great city.
A high off of it. Yeah.
And now you're doing the Vodafone, which is like in a park and all the gigs are tents. Oh, you didn't know that?
I thought, what? I hate an outdoor gig.
Every gig is in a tent.
Ah!
But it doesn't play like that. Trust me.
Yeah, Joe went and he said it was amazing.
Yeah, and did he mention that the gigs were in tents?
I never mentioned a tent once.
Yeah, so it's fine.
Okay.
They're really good ones. Like, they're not... I mean, some of these tents are definitely like tents that you would have played in music festivals. Have you ever done music festival shows?
I did Bonnaroo.
Yeah, so it'll look like that when you walk in. You'll be like, oh, fuck, one of these. But it won't play like that because it's just a comedy festival. First of all, there's no music.
Right.
And when people are waiting for your shows and after the shows, they're just hanging out in the park.
Uh-huh.
So if there's bad weather, it doesn't matter. It's still good gigs.
Gotcha.
But if there's good weather, I promise you it'll be one of the best comedy weekends of your life.
Wow.
Because the vibe is fucking incredible.
And you got friends there.
Yeah, well, you got Rory Scovel there, too, from the LA. From the LA side.
Love Scovel.
Who's gone back second year in a row.
Oh, wow.
Because he loves it so much. His own request.
Is he Irish?
I don't know, Scovel? But he's gone back on his own request.
Well, good. He's a brilliant man.
And now he's just blowing, you know, like his thing is just out and, you know, so.
Thank God Netflix is global.
Thank God Netflix is global, and thank God you just put your special on Comedy Central.
Well, Netflix said no, so I had to do it. Watch out, you're sliding there.
Oh yeah,
fatty.
But you know, in Ireland though, you'll get a bit of cred for having had a.
Oh really?
Just for having had it, they won't have seen it, but
right.
they'll be like, oh, you know, this guy has a Comedy Central hour. It must be good.
Well, do they get Spotify or Pandora over there?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm all over that.
Oh, they can listen to that in the meantime. I mean, obviously they can YouTube you as well, I guess, for
YouTube
some bits.
And iTunes.
Oh, you can buy that.
Yeah.
You're trying to make a bit of money.
Well,
and they can listen to you on Tuesday with Stories.
Tuesdays with Stories. That's my weekly podcast with Joe List, who was there last year.
Was he there last year or 2 years ago?
I think it was last year. Because he was supposed to go this year, and they pulled the plug on him.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of fucked up. I don't want to getting any hot water, but the guy was like 6 months ago, he was like, you want to do the Ireland thing? He's like, yeah. He's like, all right, consider yourself in. And then when it came around, he was like, hey, Joe, I can't get you in. He was like, what? I blocked it off.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so he was bummed.
Oh.
I hope I wasn't.
Bit of controversy.
Speaking out of school there,
it's fine.
All right.
Listen, you've already offended the blacks. You might as well offend Bren.
I love Bren and the blacks. But I can't say I love the blacks because that's racist because they're not all the same.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, I'm just covering my ass here.
You're well covered, man. Don't worry.
All right.
On my podcast, you're not going to get any super hot water here.
All right. We're just so quick to call everybody racist. You know, that's like the go-to. Oh, what are you,
racist?
Oh,
that's a go-to. Yeah.
I hate that. I was talking to, I'm not going to say who, but we were talking to a comic who works here, and he's from Barbados or one of those places. And then another guy goes, is that by Jamaica? And then this other white guy goes, what are you, racist? It's like, he got the location wrong, you idiot. What does that have to do with hating his people?
But were they being serious?
Yeah, he didn't know. He was like a dumb guy.
No. But was he being serious? Say, what are you, racist?
Well, it was a joke, but it was like, it was awkward. Like, what are you, come on, you're racist. Get
really?
It together. Yeah, and I was like, what are you, crazy?
He's just not good at geography.
Yes, exactly. You're just accusing him of hating a whole race because you've got a country wrong? I mean, it's crazy.
Actually, I couldn't tell you right now how close Barbados is to
know.
Jamaica.
I don't know anything either, but...
I would have thought they were relatively close, my own quick assumption.
I would have, too, because it's islandy and black, so, you know, they seem similar.
So, I mean...
I just hate that shit. It's like, it's such a provocative word right now. It's like calling somebody a pedophile. Like, you lose your job for being a racist, quote-unquote. So, like, we shouldn't be throwing that around so loosely.
No, I agree. But I blame the internet on everything, man. Like, by the way, I don't think that racism doesn't exist.
Of course, but black people can be racist, Jews can be racist. I feel like whitey, it's like okay to call racist.
Yeah, but we're fine, though, in fairness.
I know we're fine, but I still, you know, if you're wearing a jacket and I'm wearing a sweater and I go, and you go, man, it's cold. I go, hey, I'm in a sweater. You can still be cold. You see what I'm saying? That's a weird analogy. All right. If you're wearing a sweater and I'm wearing a T-shirt in the winter and you go, man, it's freezing. I go, fuck you. I'm in a T-shirt. You're allowed to be cold and complain about it.
Yes.
But that's what we do now. We go, I have it worse, so you can't complain. Well, why can't I complain? Just because you're in a T-shirt.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Like, I have a house in West Hampton, and, you know, the taxes are high.
Yes.
And I say, that, you know, they're very expensive.
I live in projects. You can't complain about your taxes. I have it horrible. Well, who's? I don't know. It's not my problem.
Yeah, I mean, neither are great analogies. But no,
see what I'm saying. I'm coming up with this on the
fly. I'm kidding around.
All right,
but I get what you say. I'm on two sides of it because I also think. So this is what I say about it. Sometimes, a lot of the people I find that get most angry about PC
are the
most racist.
Oh, really? You think so?
I think a lot of
interesting.
A lot of them do. Like the most Islamophobic. You know, because that's like its own a whole other genre.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. Well, if you try to treat people equally, that gets ugly. You have to do this weird dance in America where you're like, all right, I realize this, but I'm actually going to say this, but this is true, but I won't mention it. You have to do, it's a real art form.
Yeah, well, because there's a weird lack of integration, too, though, I find.
Oh, yeah. I'm from the South. It was way more integrated down there than it is up here. And up here, but he's on
the assumption is that it's really racist down there.
Yeah, of course. But it was way more mixed when I grew up as a kid.
Yeah. Because I didn't do a joke, but I, like, one day in a conversation, I was saying that people say it's a melting pot, but it's a TV dinner. So you have all the society, but none of it.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's my own line. I know, but it doesn't work on stage.
Well, it needs a twist, but it's a great setup.
Yeah, it's a good setup.
Yeah, I love that. You should hang on to that or tweet it.
Yeah, well, we're not going to start workshopping bits. But
I'm just saying, don't throw that out.
Yeah, I know, but here's the problem then. You got to get into this, like, stereotype humor then, where it's like, you know, the little corner section is the, you know,
right,
it's a bit,
right,
you know,
I don't know.
I mean, that's one way you could go with
it. You could go a smart way with that.
Yeah. I put it out there to you in relation to what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I do think there's a lot of subconscious prejudice with these PC people, you know, like I'll notice that a white comic will go on stage, a white guy, and he does okay, and then I'll see like a black guy or like a super gay guy go on stage, and the audience is immediately like, okay, we got to be a little nicer here, you know, we got to be give him a little more, and he could be terrible, and they're like, well, we can't let him bomb.
Do you think so?
Oh my God, are you kidding? It's crazy, and that's a sign. That's a prejudice. That's like, all right, he's not that smart, or we don't want to look racist. I mean, you're treating him differently. That's offensive.
Yeah.
I know they mean well, but you're being condescending.
Yeah, I know, but that's tough to say that's what's going on with the audience. Like,
I'm not saying everybody in the audience.
Are you projecting your own?
No, because I've talked to people about it, and they're like, oh, for sure.
Oh, right. So, yeah, okay, that's a concern. I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just curious.
Yeah, like,
plus,
people,
I'm also, you know.
People talk about that openly. Like, we've talked about The Cellar before, people, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I see that all the time. So it happens. I talked to Quinn about it. He's the king. He knows all about it.
Yeah, he's next. What time
is
it?
Yeah, well, he's probably the smartest guy around. Like, he sees all.
Well, he's also seen the city evolve, which is a great thing to have been able to witness.
It's a good point.
Know?
And he grew up in a mixed Brooklyn, like in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So that's like there's no better college campus than that.
Because I was talking to this girl the other day, very attractive actor, model.
Uh-oh.
That wants to do stand-up.
Yeah, not going to happen. Not going to work out.
She got very angry at me because that's kind of my reaction.
Yes.
I was like, oh, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But anyway, I told her, I said, maybe there's, because she said to me, I think I'm at a disadvantage because I'm tall, good-looking woman. That, you know, like, there's this assumption immediately that I'm not funny.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, that may or may not be true. But I said, maybe you could turn that into a joke where you go, look, maybe I'm at a disadvantage, but I'm only doing this for 5 minutes. The rest of the day, I really have it easy.
Yeah, that's great opener.
As a premise.
Yes.
But then I was like, you got to be careful because then people are like, well, fuck this bitch.
Of course, of course. That's a prejudice. But yeah, it's a true thing out there, you know? You got to watch it. And if you show that you're aware of it, that you get way more trust from the audience.
If you say...
If this hot chick goes up and goes, look, I realize I'm hot and I realize you're assuming I'm not funny, that already buys her a ton of faith.
Yeah,
from the audience.
I think so. Yeah, probably right. It's probably it's a good tact.
Yeah. But see, being you're like a tall, good-looking white guy. So that's already... It's similar for you.
Yes, but here's the funny thing about that, because I thought about this lately, because on a few occasions I've heard people discuss it, and also the white man thing, you know, the sense of, you know, hello,
hi.
How are you?
People are coming in. Sorry, folks.
Colleagues of ours are passing.
Yes, we are in a comedy club.
To make it sound like a work environment.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but you're a tall, good-looking guy.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this lately because people were discussing this advantage thing and the white man thing. But I first of all, I never thought I was good looking. That's irrelevant. But like, I never, none of that ever entered my consciousness about how people are perceiving me at the beginning of my set.
Me neither. Because I just go up. I'm a human being. You're a human being. Let's
talk.
Yeah,
I just do the thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. Is it as much of a...
They're judging you harshly. They really are. You go up there and the first thing they do, they profile you. That's just how people are.
Yes.
We talk about profiling like it's this thing, but that's just a human...
Yeah.
It's a human nature. But like, I dated a girl who was pretty hot once, and she would always had all these gripes about being hot. She was like, I get treated like this. No one thinks I'm funny. No one thinks I'm smart because I'm hot. Their first impression is this, this, and this. And I go, yeah, that's part of it. It's like same with being white. You know, you complain. Everybody goes, oh, shut up. All right, you got it all. And you're kind of like, well, isn't that an oppression? Isn't that a form of oppression? But you go, you got it good.
Yeah, I guess it's a toughie, isn't it?
Because it's a
toughie. You go, is it a form of oppression? Well, maybe. Is it causing you any problems in your life? Well, in the big picture, no.
But these little nuances fuck.
Yeah, the
up.
Little nuance fuck with your head.
Yes, exactly. And then you know, but everybody thinks, "Woe is me! I'm the victim." We all think we're the big movie star in our movie of our life.
Yes.
So it's all happening to us, you know.
So in the end, it comes down to the root of all ills, which is self-centeredness.
There you go. It's
according to the Alcoholics Anonymous literature.
I think it's true. It's all narcissism at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I have it hard. Well, I have it hard too, but I have it harder because it's me. You know. That's what it is. That's the bottom line. Everything. I think we really got somewhere here.
Do you? Do you talk about narcissism? I know that. I know it's like a big obsession of what's his name? His name I always mispronounce. Very caustic one-liners. Exceptionally well known, and I'm just
Anthony Jeselnik.
Anthony Jeselnik,
great comic.
He has a big thing about narcissism at the moment, doesn't he? Because I haven't seen it, but I've heard people reference the fact that he's.
Yeah.
Really looking into how much narcissism is affecting our society.
Well, it's pretty brilliant because his shtick is like, I know I'm a hot, good-looking, funny, badass, cool dude. And that's his whole shtick, which is great because he commits the fuck out of it. Like, he doesn't break or anything. And obviously, it's not the real him. I mean, he probably is a pretty confident guy. But he's like, I'm going whole hog, and that's why it's funny.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be funny if he was like, maybe this will work. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's obviously a smart, he's got a good comedy mind if he figured that out.
All right, well, let's have a conclusion like there was an arc. So
well, I think we had one for a second, but then we went on this Jeselnik tear.
Well, no, only because I thought that he was talking about it, but doesn't matter. I'm going to bring it right back onto this arc.
Okay.
About narcissism, because that's what we got into, self-centeredness. And if that seems to be this evolution towards narcissism, which manifests itself in various ways that we're discussing, is it then only inevitable that the great narcissist is the leader of the free world?
America?
Donald Trump.
Oh, sorry.
Damn, I articulated that so well.
Yeah, I fucked that up. That was me. That was all my fault. I'm so sensitive about being an American that I just go there. But you nailed that on a platter, and I didn't even see it.
Well, listen, man, it's fine. It's still hot. Have a go.
All right. The meal is still warm. Yeah, the ultimate narcissist. You're completely right. And that's why he won, because it's a complete backlash to all this PC shit.
Well, it is, absolutely.
So that was it. I mean, that was like, okay, we hate what's going on. This guy is the antithesis of that. Let's put him in there. Even though he's a lunatic and a wacko and a complete buffoon.
Yeah.
But Yeah. It
so it does kind of make sense in terms of
totally
what we're talking
about. It
totally
makes sense. It's complete black to white, A to B.
And it's why the Democratic Party probably made a mistake by continuing with Hillary Clinton. Whether you agree with her or not, she kind of represented that, whereas Bernie represented a sort of a return to caring about the working man type thing, which...
Yeah.
I mean, that's what people are arguing.
Bernie, I like, but it was a bit of a fantasy land. Like, come on, man. It was just like, everyone goes to college and we all get pizza and all this shit. It was like, all right, take it easy. Like, you have to have money to go to college. We have to pay the professors and, you know, it has to even out somewhere. But he was just, and I like his ideals, and he's like a hardcore, like, activist, but, like, in the 60s. He was
he's been on the ground the whole time.
Yeah, which you got to respect, but, Yeah, he was too positive. Like, everything was too, like, this will work out.
Yeah, well,
optimistic. That's the word.
It really is an interesting time, though. That was the reaction to the identity politics.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But it's interesting that, because, you know, you live in New York, you go to L.A., you go to Chicago, you go to Seattle, and you're like, how the fuck did Trump win? And then I did a gig in Oklahoma last week, and I was like, oh, that's how he won. You see these people, like, this is... 87% of America, or 89 or 94% of America, like, this is it. It's the homeland, baby, the heartland. These guys with, you know, with a shitty gig and a plus size wife and a retarded son, like, this is, that's America.
Yeah.
It's not this bubble we live in where, you know, we're all mixed together and
so are you finding protesting. That on the road? Because you're eating up the road.
Eating up the road, baby. I'm going to Cincinnati this weekend.
Yeah, so are you finding that out in the road that, like, people are really, if you talk about PC and stuff, that people are going for it, like, real different to the way they would here in New York?
Yeah, it's always weird when you say, like, some ironic joke about white people, and they go like, fuck yeah, I'm with you, and you're like, whoa, easy, buddy, that was irony, and I was being silly, and, you know, it was just a joke, but they, like, think it's gospel.
And as Liz passes, she makes that face that she makes.
Always makes the face.
Liz passes with that, like, dismissive face. Like,
yeah. Like, I know.
Like your older Irish sister. You know, it's like, oh, God.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Still doing that?
I know. Deep down, she loves us.
Oh, I absolutely think so.
Without her, this place would fall to pieces.
Yeah, because you're going to be asked. You're going to be asked a lot in Ireland about Trump.
Oh, God. Like, I don't have one Trump joke.
No, I know, but you will be asked a lot. Like, I guarantee if you do any radio... They're going to ask you, what's it like with Trump over there? People are going to ask you on the street. People are going to tweet you and be like, what do you think about Trump? Like, people are interested in what Americans think of Trump.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe I'll Google him.
Do a bit of research on him.
Yeah. I don't know anything about politics. I know zero about politics. And I like to keep it that way because I feel like I'm 33 and I've seen a few presidents come and go. Not much changes.
Not much changes.
Not, but you still leave your house and you get in your car and you go to work and you go to the store and all that. Not much changes, but this time it feels different.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I lost my health care. Things, you know, there's protests every day. There's a new this, a new that. Everybody's angry. Everybody hates him. I've never seen people, like, light a bush. People hated Bush, but I never saw Bush being lit on fire in the county square. Or
yeah,
all
no
that
effigies.
Shit. Yes. So that's pretty wild. There's a TV show on TV currently making fun of Trump.
The whole show is based
on making fun of the president of the United States.
I know, and I was at Colbert last night. I wasn't on, but I was hanging out with my friend. And
Mateo?
Well, funnily enough, he was there. That was a coincidence.
Yeah.
I was there with Cillian Murphy, who's he was in Dunkirk.
Ah.
And the premiere is on last night, or the premiere.
Uh-huh.
What did you say it?
Premiere.
Premiere. Oh, yeah, premiere, I say. And but anyway, his Colbert's shtick about Trump is incredible. Even more people that we know distracting our conversation.
The irony of Trump is all these, like, TV stars hate him, but he's giving them so much ratings that he's keeping shows on the air.
I know this guy. I play golf with this, like, super conservative older guy. Love playing golf with him, though. And he's a nice guy. I don't care about his politics.
Yeah, we act like conservatives are all Nazis.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't care about his politics. But he's quite right. And I told him I was going to the Colbert show, and he was like, I hate that guy. I hate that guy. I mean, he's just, yeah, all he does is complain about Trump. And I was like, well, you know, his show was struggling until Trump got elected, and his ratings are through the roof, and he's more popular than Jimmy Fallon because of Trump.
Yeah.
So what it... You're always one of these guys that says, you know, you're smart. You got to do what you need to do to get ahead. It's like, well, what is a guy supposed to do?
Oh, interesting. Never thought of it like that. He's a businessman.
Yeah, but it's also he
I mean, he believes it.
Yeah, but he flourishes in that spit. You know, like,
oh yeah,
it's
his, oh yeah,
it's where he's most comfortable, and it's
yeah.
The response has been positive.
Very.
But he was fucking good last night.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, I don't watch it all the time. I was real impressed.
Really?
You know why? Because I was backstage in the dressing room, so I was also watching him, like, just talking to the crowd in advance.
Oh, that's
and
the
I
best.
Was like, fuck, this guy's a fucking performer, man.
He's a talent. He's
he
a real talent.
He is a talent.
Yeah.
And there is nothing you throw at him he doesn't either know or have a witty retort to.
Yeah, he's super smart, and he's quick. He's an improv guy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's quick on his feet. You know, he's a super religious Christian.
I knew that he was very Catholic because I saw a YouTube clip or a Facebook clip of him arguing with Ricky Gervais about the existence of God.
Oh, I want to watch that.
Yeah, it's not in a heated argument. It remains funny the whole way through, and it's very respectful, both of them. But it's very interesting.
Wow, because I actually did Jim and Sam today, and Gervais was the guest.
Oh, did you meet Ricky Gervais?
I met
today?
Him. Sweetest guy, funnest guy, coolest guy.
Just really?
Regular old dude. We cracked jokes. I made him laugh a few times. It was great.
Yeah, oh, that's a nice experience.
Like, he walked in, and I was like, oh, shit, it's Ricky Gervais. He's a huge star. I'm nobody. I hate myself. And then within 6 minutes, I was talking with him, eye contact, joking. He was like, you know, that whole cackle he has.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this is great. It felt like a comic.
That's great.
It was so cool.
Yeah, but I would have thought maybe if you met him at a bar, he might be awkward. But I would have thought in a professional situation that he would totally get it.
He was great. He's doing the garden. He's doing comedy again, stand up.
Really?
So we were just talking comedy. It was great. Well, I know more. I've been doing comedy longer than him, so it felt kind of cool.
So in that situation, do you or do you not get the selfie?
I got a picture, but not a selfie.
You got the group picture.
I got the group, but
which is better.
I'm next to Gervais, so I cut everyone else out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you post it?
I'm posting it tomorrow. I've already planned it.
What's your Instagram?
At Mark Normand. One word.
At Mark Normand.
With a D.
I called you Mark Normand for the first like,
I know. It
3
was,
months of knowing you.
I don't care, but it was funny. I'm not like offended, but it was funny.
Yeah, I guess because you were New Orleans, I assumed there was some sort of French influence.
Right, right. Well, I am French. Normand.
Oh, Normand.
Yeah, Mark. You know, I'm from New Orleans and my whole family.
And here's my next guest. I almost feel like I have a radio show.
Oh, yeah.
My next guest is in the studio.
Do you have a third mic?
Well, I mean, you want to join in for the end of this one, and then we'll get going? Sit down. Sit down. No, wait. All right, he'll wait. Just say hello, and then I'll get rid of him.
We had a good etymology talk you would have liked. He didn't know Jip.
I love it, too.
Yeah, that's good.
So
stuff.
Our next guest is Colin Quinn, who's going to be
I'm
on a normal.
I'm saying hello. I'll be on in a little while.
Yeah,
I came at the end of Mark's.
I'll skedaddle.
Mark, did you get any sleep? I saw he was on Jim and Sam.
Oh, dude.
I saw he was on Jim and Sam this morning.
I stayed up last night with
I
Mark
saw
Gatsky
you last
at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And then I went and did that.
I don't know if Bogatsky has earned
it.
The.
He just discussed it.
I don't know if Bogatsky has earned the last name status no yet. By the way.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I think I'd say Nate Bogatsky.
Okay.
I don't think.
Oh wow.
Anyway.
I know. Poison Ivy boy's coming. My cousin's coming. He's got Poison Ivy.
Oh, fun. I thought that was like a tough guy name.
No,
Poison
no.
Ivy boy.
Well, Mark, you better say goodbye then.
All right. I got to go.
Thank you, Ireland.
Mark, when are you going to Ireland? You going with Nate and Nate B? Are you going on Tuesday?
No.
He said he's going on Tuesday.
I think I'm going Friday.
What?
Shit, I want to go earlier. I want more time.
That's tight, man.
What?
Louis C.K. made that mistake. He went on the Friday, very jet lag, opened up for me, died in his ass. How many times
have
I told
you? Whoa! You got a problem with Louis, I've noticed.
Went on a Friday.
You got a beef.
Hey, oh, that is, excuse me.
Oh.
I'm striking that from the record.
All right. I don't think you like him.
Anyway, Mark, thank you so much for
your
time.
Oh, yeah, thanks
for
having me.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Thank good you. Pod.
See you, man.
All right, Carl.
Good to see you.
So, thanks to Mark. For doing the chat, and make sure you go check him out at the Vodafone Comedy Carnival. Also, my special, which I'm recording in Dublin, at the Dríoch Theatre in Blanchardstown. Those tickets should be on sale soon. They're going to be cheap enough tickets. I'm producing this special myself, so it's not a free taping, but it will be a great show. It'll be both Grey Matters and One Day You'll Understand. And I'm turning that into to a special. So that'll be recorded at the end of September. So keep an eye out for that. Do spread the word about the Desmondshire podcast. We should be back updating regularly. I may change the name of the podcast to Between Sets because I'm thinking about just chatting to comedians in between sets at the Comedy Cellar and other gigs around New York City.
Next podcast up is Colin Quinn, which is already recorded. He's also heading over to the Vodafone Comedy Carnival. And he is an Irish-American legend. Perhaps not as many of you are familiar with him, but he was on SNL many years ago. He had his own show on Comedy Central called Tough Crowd. And he has had two Jerry Seinfeld produced or directed one-man shows that ran in New York City at different times. Anyway, super interesting guy. So we will we'll chat to him in a couple of days. In the meantime, do like us on iTunes if you haven't. Leave a comment. And thank you so much. Chat soon. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.